Hello there, welcome to episode 3 of Back in the Day. And we've left the footy behind today. We're going to have a go, a long hard look at the NME chart for the 26th of April 1969. And I better be on my best behaviour today because I've got a special guest, Jackie Rivett, the wife.
Hi.
How are you today?
Yeah, I've had better days, but there you go.
Now, what about music of 1969? Do you remember much about that? How old were you?
12.
I was... Yeah, you were 12 and I was 15.
And I didn't know you then?
No.
I was just a little tomboy.
I had a couple more years of freedom. Now, what sort of... I mean, I'm a Beatles, Stones, Kinks, Pink Floyd, ELO, Dire Straits, Oasis type of bloke. What's your sort of music?
Well, originally, Tamla Motown was my thing and I really liked Michael Jackson. Yeah, I sort of more bluesy type stuff, more than rock and roll, really.
Yeah.
But as I've got older, I've sort of got a taste for other music. I went through a phase of sort of all kind of quiet music and like Enya and things like that. But I've come through that period of time now.
But now you're a rock chick.
Well, no, I'm not a rock chick, but I like a good old mixture. I do like a good mixture to sing along to as well.
Absolutely.
I do like to join in.
Yes, that's why Spotify, and that's a great, isn't it?
Yeah.
iTunes, you can just mix them all up.
Yep.
You
know,
you can have
all random.
Pink Floyd followed by Frank Sinatra, followed by Bing Crosby, followed by Deep Purple. I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
Or, I don't think many people actually listen to albums anymore. I think people do, but not as many. I mean, years ago you bought an album, you put it on the turntable and you played it, didn't you?
Yeah.
But now there's so many more options.
Well, I suppose the other thing was as well, the closest we came to Spotify was having singles and being able to put 4 on the record player at once.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So that was probably the only sort of mixture that you would have. But I can remember being in my bedroom with my little record player and sort of I used to get really into the sad songs and like "Hey There, Lonely Girl," because I used to think that,
Eddie Holman.
Yeah, yeah, and I used to think, you know, it used to make me quite sad, and then I'd go out and have fun. But it was just like you know, I did used to sort of become sort of different songs remind you of different times, and "Hey There, Lonely Girl," that song always.
It's funny because when we met and when we got married, we joined our record collections. We had two the same, didn't we? Just two singles.
Yep.
One was Killer Queen, and the other was Mind Games.
Yeah, by John Lennon.
Yeah.
The only two.
Yeah, you was all Diana Ross and Marvin Gaye.
Love Marvin.
Right, we're going to look at this NME chart. Now, there's no reason really why I chose the NME chart. You had the NME chart, you had the Melody Maker chart, you had the Record Mirror chart. And they were differences. For example, the NME and Melody Maker charts had Please Please Me as the Beatles' first UK number one, but it peaked at number 2 in the Record Mirror chart. It's a real dilemma if you go to a quiz night and the question is, what was the first UK number one, Beatles number one in the UK? We've had that before.
Yeah, we
have. You can't really win because it depends on where they do the research. The answer could be Please Please Me or From Me to You. So we get on with the chart and we got joint, we're doing the top 30 and we've got joint 30s. And the first one is by supergroup Cream, Badge. Now, you didn't recognise that song when I told you the title, did you? Once we played it, it all came flooding back.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic song, absolutely fantastic. And even all these years up to now, I only found out now that it's called Badge. It was just one of those songs that would come on randomly. I'd think, oh, I really like this, but never looked at what it was called.
Well, it was written by two of our favourites. It was written by Eric Clapton and George Harrison.
Oh,
and
what a duo.
I think George Harrison, they were writing the song, and George Harrison wrote down bridge, meaning the bridge for the song, and Eric Clapton misread it and thought he said badge. And they thought, well, that's a good title, we'll go with that. So that's what he did. But... The supergroup Cream are made up of Eric Clapton, bass player Jack Bruce and drummer Ginger Baker.
Ginger Baker was mental as a box of frogs, wasn't he?
There's a programme watched about him a few years ago. South Africa, was it?
I think it was South Africa, but he was absolutely a very strange character.
Well, George Harrison played rhythm guitar on the track, but because he was in the Beatles and the Apple label, he had to be named as L'Angelo Misteriso.
Can they come up with something better than that?
Now, total contrast, the other joint 30 is a song by Elvis Presley, If I Can Dream. Now, that's another one you weren't sure of, no, when I said the title.
Definitely wasn't. But then when I heard it, I thought, oh, yeah, I like that one. But it's a struggle.
It's not a great vocal, is it?
No, it's
not. Elvis fans will be switching off right now. No, but I mean, Elvis was great, but in that song, it seems a bit straining.
Yeah, it starts off with his usual smooth tones. But at the end, it's like someone's been at his throat with razor blades and he can't do it. It's just, it's a strain. And I don't like the end of it, I only like the beginning of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was on its way down. It had peaked at number 13, but it's not one of my favourites. And he did have good songs around this era. He had Suspicious Minds and The Wonder of You.
Well, when you first said about it, I thought, oh, maybe it was sort of made later. Maybe it was
I think it's in between. It's in between Suspicious Minds and The Wonder of You. The Wonder of You, his voice is fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's just one of them crazy things.
Or maybe he just had sore throat that day.
But obviously there's Elvis fans who are going to love this record. Now, another one I didn't know either by the title was First of May by the Bee Gees, which is at number 29. But when we played it, we recognised it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not one of my favourite Bee Gees songs. I mean, they made some really big records. They were like two bands, were they? Like Fleetwood Mac. But even though they had the same personnel,
yeah,
and all the Massachusetts and World, and then they changed into these disco blokes 10 years later. I mean, good luck to them.
Strutting their stuff. They were able to sort of adapt, weren't they? And they had a huge following. I mean, absolutely huge following. I mean, the first thing that, when you say the Bee Gees, the first thing that pops into my head is them walking along that, like,
Jive Talking
train station. Yeah, with the white jacket over his shoulder, his teeth gleaming in the sunlight.
If you actually listen to it, the sort of screaming in the background. But they were great songwriters. I mean, there are a lot of songs for other people.
Yeah.
They wrote one of your favourites for Diana Ross, Chain Reaction.
Oh, I love that song. Yeah, you just got to get up and dance to that song. If it comes on, you've got to get up. And I wanted the dress.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted the silver glittery dress. Always wanted that. It looked ridiculous on me now. But but back then, it was like a little dream that I had. It never happened. Anyone wants to send me the dress, that'd be lovely.
Oh, yeah, sure. Diana's listening.
Yeah.
Right, that one's last week in the charts. It's an okay song. In at number 28 is one of the UK's finest bands of the 60s, but for me, not one of their better songs, The Kinks with Plastic Man.
Don't like it.
No, I'm not over keen. If you had just the words, it'd be a comedy song, wouldn't it? I mean, yeah. I know he had a lot of humour in his songs anyway, but this one's a bit too much.
Well, it's just like, I don't know, you can tell it's them. I think it really does. It's not like it doesn't sound like them at all. But it's almost like they sort of did it and thought, well, yeah, all right, we'll put it out. It's not great, but we'll put it out. But how did it get us?
Well, we'll say it's high as number 29.
Well, it's a lot higher than some other decent
but
songs.
But the following year, they did cut peak form again when they got Lola, which is a great song.
Yeah, which is, it's not got that comedy feel to it, but that I didn't like that.
No, I'm not keen.
No.
Now, 27 is a former UK number one, Where Do You Go To My Lovely by Peter Sarsfield. What do you think of that one?
I've always liked that song. I mean,
well, it was in the charts for 12 weeks, including 4 weeks at number one.
But it was like, when you listen to it now, back then it was like, oh, lovely, you know, you're sort of in Paris with the wind in your hair and all that kind of thing. But it's jealousy, isn't it?
He bought her a racehorse for Christmas just for fun. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. But it is. It's jealousy, isn't it? Because
I've got a problem with this song.
Why?
Well, he's saying how great she's got on and, you know, Rolling Stones records and a friend of Sasha Distel and all this. So she's made something of herself. Then he goes back to her and him.
Yeah.
The singer and her, who's made it great. Two children begging in rags, each touched with a burning ambition to fight off their lowly birth tags. Is that
something like that?
So she's done it, and he's failed to do it, and he sort of holds a grudge for doing it.
I don't think it's that. I think he's just jealous because he hasn't gone with her.
Well, that's it, exactly. I mean, but he sort of then go and forget me forever, but I know you'll still bear the scar. I mean, I don't think she'd even meet up with him, would she?
No, probably not.
Street urchin like him?
Well, you, I don't know. You just, you can't, you know, it's a story, isn't it? It's a little story and a little little pod of a song that has got, it's got quite a lot going on in it. I mean, it must have taken some writing.
Yeah, one more hit. Do you remember what that was? I think it peaked about number 10 later on in the year. Frozen Orange Juice.
Frozen Orange Juice.
I thought it was just called Orange Juice, but apparently it's called Frozen Orange Juice. You'd recognise it if you heard it.
Sing it.
I can't.
Help me out here.
And that would be the end of his chart success. So I bet he'd been around for years just playing that one song on Frozen Orange Juice. People happy anyway. All right, down six places, number 26, Cilla Black with Surround Yourself with Sorrow, which had peaked at number 2.
I like that. I like that song. It's when it first starts, it's you think, oh, I don't know. Well, same for me. I got this kind of, I don't know this song. And as soon as it hits the chorus, you think, yes, I do. It's a weird kind
she
of.
She had a strange voice, didn't she?
She had a weird voice. But I mean,
but I love You're My World. That's my favourite of hers, the way it builds up. It's great.
She has got a very strange voice, but blimey, the girl did it, didn't she?
Well, she was very clever, wasn't she? Because she could see the way pop was going and all the other girls were sort of losing it. And suddenly she'd be going, oh, no, I'll become a variety star. I'll get my own show on telly. And
and she did it.
And she done it. Yeah. And then she ended up with, what's the show she done with you? About three of them.
Surprise.
Blind Date.
Blind Date.
So she made a sort of a second career for herself.
She did, but then someone must have come up to her. I mean, she married well, didn't she?
I'll tell you what, you see an old black and white one of anyone who had a heart and her nose before she had the nose job. You can see why she had the nose job.
Yeah, it's a big one. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Bless her.
Yeah. Number 25 is a song, I must admit, passed me by. It was called Passing Strangers by Sarah Vaughan and Billy Eckstein. And for me, it can carry on passing by.
Yeah,
really.
It's not a great. I'm sure I've heard this by other people, and it's far better.
Yeah, I think it's
better.
Been covered by a few.
But their version's just a bit. It is a bit 1950s.
Yeah, we don't mind that though. We love True Love by Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly, didn't we? We've done that on karaoke, haven't we?
We did. Yeah, yeah. We were really good. I look a bit like Grace Kelly, obviously, and he doesn't look like Bing Crosby at all. But I wish he had his bank balance. But hey ho, that's a whole different story. Yeah. But it's just so it feels very, very dated. Very dated to me. It just feels more
50s
than 60s.
Well, yeah, it is a 1950s type song, isn't it? I mean,
they sing it well, you know. I mean,
it's all right,
But, yeah, it's not one that I'll be queuing up to say, play it, please.
And the same, really, at number 24, with a song that just went passing by, because it's The Tremolos with Hello World, and we played that. We thought we were going to recognise that, but we didn't really, did we?
No,
it's very average.
It's less than average.
Yeah, well, this is as high as it got, 24. It never got any higher. You can see why, can't
absolutely.
You?
I'm surprised it got that high.
They made a couple of good records, but, I mean, that's not one of them.
I bet they're still singing it. They're doing the rounds, though.
Probably, yeah. One of them was Lee Evans' dad. Comedian Lee Evans. His dad. Right, the next one's the strangest song of the 30, I think. It's Equals with Michael and his Slipper Tree.
Yeah, honestly, I just think they must have been on drugs. It's just the weirdest thing.
No.
Yeah.
they were the first multiracial group, the Equals. They had black fellas and white fellas getting on pretty well. I know the Foundations were around the pretty much same time, but I think they're the first.
But it is an awful song. I don't know
they did have
where
some good
they
songs.
Thought that would be great.
You know who the lead singer is, didn't you? You know who the lead singer is? Eddie Grant. You know?
I don't wanna dance. That Eddie Grant.
Yeah, Dance for Your Baby No More. And Electric Avenue.
Yeah.
So he sort of reinvented himself as well.
He did, yeah.
But it makes some good records. Three RE, like Baby Come Back, Viva Bobby Joe, and Black Skin, Blue Eyed Boys. You know them three, don't you? Which were all superior to this one. And,
definitely.
And they all made.
Was this one before them, though?
No, this came after. Oh. So you can say they.
That was their pick.
They were three big hits, and Baby Come Back was number one, but definitely the weakest out of the four songs.
That's awful. I don't know. No.
Right.
Not at all.
So next, we got another one we like. Sandy Shaw, Monsieur Dupont. Did you like Sandy Shaw?
Yeah.
I used to fancy her when I was about 10. When she first came out.
I didn't really fancy her, obviously. No, I didn't. She was... No, I've never really warmed Sandy Shaw, if I'm honest.
Oh, I used to like her.
Dusty Springfield, yeah. Sandy Shaw, no.
Dusty Springfield had a much better voice. Yeah. But sometimes you don't need a good voice, do you? I mean, it's just a song.
What was it about her? Was it the bare feet? The...
I don't know, just the hairstyle, just everything. She just had a pretty face. And I liked her songs. Always Something There to Remind Me and That Sort of Girl Don't Come. And Puppy on a String Cable. Now, if you say Sandy Shaw, 100 people top of the road, a song, they'll say Puppy on a String. Which she wouldn't like because she's always sort of distanced herself away from it because she found it too sort of poppy.
Yeah, no, I actually had a single of hers when I was growing up. I can't remember which for life which one it was because I don't think I ever played it. I think it must have been bought for me because it has never, I never would wanted to hear it, really. Still the same now, I'm not bothered.
There was a lot of excitement when she won the Eurovision in 67, the first time we ever won it, wasn't it? And...
I was 10. We might not have even had a telly then. I want to know.
I bet you did. Yeah, but so, I mean, I thought she was great. Right, now, number 21, we definitely have a great song, and it's A Man of the World by Fleetwood Mac.
Absolutely fantastic.
It's a great song. They were great. They completely changed, didn't they? Changed personnel, apart from Mick Fleetwood in the drums, I think, but... Totally changed the style of music. I like them both. I like
so do I.
The Rumours one from the '70s, and also the Pete Green one, who wrote the song.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic song. And it's one of those that you can listen to again and again.
Yeah, it's very sort of soul-y, bluesy.
Yeah,
the guitar playing is brilliant by Peter Green.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that will peak at number two, and their follow-up, Oh Well, Parts 1 and 2, would also peak at number two. However, the band did reach the top spot earlier with Albatross.
Oh, of course they would, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Which, again...
I say it's a song, it was an instrumental, wasn't it?
But it was, that was very entirely... Very laid back. Yeah, but it was an entirely... You could, if you close your eyes and listen to it, you can imagine an Albatross floating around the blue sky, sound of the sea in the background.
Yeah, it's a great tune.
It is a great tune. Not dancey, and it's still got to one number one, so it can't be bad.
But the next song isn't a great tune.
Okay.
It's by our friend Cliff Richard with Good Times, Better Times.
No times, please.
Should have been a Eurovision song.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got that ring to it.
Oh, it bounces around, doesn't it? I mean, I've got nothing against Cliff Richard. I mean, I think up to 1962, he was really good. You know, Living Doll, The Young Ones and all that, Summer Holiday, Move It. I just think, but then it was just like Elvis coming out of the army and going soft with wooden, instead of, you know, all the great rock and roll hits, Don't Be Cruel and all that, Hound Dog, you have Wooden Heart and Good Luck Charm and this sort of stuff. And he went,
do you think they're right? They changed. Well, I think
what happened to him is the Beat Groups come out in 63 and from going to the top teeny bopper person, the top one, he comes out of all the polls, you know, best singer. Then when the Searchers, Beatles, Stones come out, he was old fashioned overnight. He just looked like some of the mums liked. Wow. And I think that's why he changed his style. But, I mean, you've got to give him credit. I mean, he was still having hits in the 2000s. I mean, he just had the way about him picking a song.
Well, I think he'd also got a great following at that point, hadn't he? You know, and it was mostly mums, I think. But maybe they'd introduced him to their children at that point. So they were sort of coming up behind that, oh, if mum likes Cliff Richard, you know.
I'd like to have seen his face when he watched that scene from Coronation Street. Did you hear about that?
No.
I think it was in a park. Martha Longhurst, Winnie Coldwell and Nina Sharpe, which are three old girls, were sitting in a park bench or something, and they said, one of them, I think Winnie Coldwell, said, oh, I just love that chubby Cliff Richard. He was devastated because he didn't see himself as chubby.
I don't think he was.
No, it just had an effect on him, though. He sort of turned into this sort of like, probably was they might be when he took up tennis. But I mean, his first worst thing of all time was that Millennium Prayer, wasn't it? God.
Yeah, not my cup of tea at all.
No. But credit where it's due. Right now, we have three Tamla Motown songs on the trot. At 19, we have Junior Walker and the All Stars with I'm a Road Runner.
Oh, I'm a roller baby. That saxophone in that is outstanding. Yeah. I had a bit of a phase of loving saxophone music and Kenny G and all that. Kenny G.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Is it Kenny G?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Kenny G. But yeah, I had a real thing about saxophone music for a while. It's a real go-y.
Yeah, it's a good energetic song.
It is.
Written by the Holland Dozier Holland writing team, released on the Motown label, and it did get into the top 10. And 18, I think it's an even better song, Get Ready by the Temptations.
Yeah.
Here
I'm sorry, as soon as I think about that song, I can see them standing there doing the three of them doing the little dance in the background in their matching suits. And
there
some
was
of them,
five of them, wasn't there?
Some of them suits. Oh my goodness.
Well, I think the four tops were worse because they got suits, and I saw one of them where they were like two sizes too small. They looked like Thunderbird puppets.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I seem to remember them having sort of bell bottom trousers, but the vent in the bell bottom trousers was pleated. And they were something like green and yellow, and they were just awful. I mean, I don't know who dressed them, but I suppose for the time, at the time when you were watching them, you didn't think anything about it, and you're just enjoying the music. But now when you look back on it, it's just so dated, their outfits.
But they were the big two, weren't they? Temptations, Four Tops.
Big competition going on between them two. I think I was more of a Four Tops than a Temptations, if I'm honest. You're probably the other way around, because Temptations were a bit more rocky.
I could take one or the other, really. I would say one was better than the other.
I think I was more Four Tops than Temptations. I had more of their singles than I had of the others, so.
Hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, good songs.
They have also reached the top 10, and their third Motown hit is Stevie Wonder with I Don't Know Why, which is going up two places to 17. Now, this is a strange story behind this one, because that's not one of my favourites, Stevie Wonder songs.
No, not me neither.
But months later, they realised that the B-side was a much better song. And do you know what that was?
My Sherry and More,
which is a better song. Mm. And they re-released it with that on the A-side. And it went high into the top 10 in August of 69.
But if you've already bought it, you've already bought
it. Well, they haven't, have they? It didn't get very far up the charts.
So then they
wait a couple of months.
Because
it's not going to get radio play, being a B-side.
Did it have the B-side was the same as the previous A-side? Or did
the A-side then become the B-side. They flipped it.
Oh, I thought they might have at least put a different tune on it.
I suppose it's possible that someone bought I Don't Know Why.
Yeah.
And they thought, oh, he's got a new one out, Marshall Ian Moore. Bought that, and they realised
it's on the other side. Yeah, I bet that happened to a lot of people.
I bet they didn't make a tale of it.
Marshall Ian Moore's good song. That's one of his best, I think.
Right, at number 16 is a song that spent 52 weeks in the top 20 over the next 3 years. And do you know what that is?
Nope.
And now, My Way by Frank Sinatra. Now, do you like Frank Sinatra? You're not a big fan, are you?
No, I'm not a great fan. I liked My Way.
Don't you like the old stuff, like Witchcraft and all that sort
of
stuff?
No, not particularly.
Strangers in the Night?
No. No, I'm more
Chicago,
Bing.
Chicago, that toddling town.
No, I'm more Bing. I'm more of a Bing fan than I am a Frank.
Bing had a voice like a musical instrument.
Oh, it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Well, I like Sinatra, especially the 50s stuff by the Capitol Radio Records. I thought they were great. He had a classic album, Songs of Swinging Lovers, in 1956, and they're all on there, all the biggies. Classic.
And I think this must be one of the most karaoke songs.
I've done it.
Yeah, I know you have, more than once. and we know our niece has done it. She told us that she'd done it.
God,
but
I can't imagine. She's terrible voice. But there is a live performance of Sinatra singing My Way at Madison Square Garden, New York, in 1974.
No, that is good.
And it's fantastic. Because he weren't a young bloke then, was he?
No.
I mean, it's just flawless performance. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I'm not. Sorry, just mentioning Bing. There, I don't know if you remember, but sort of quite early on, somebody bought me a little cassette with some songs of Bing's on it, and I loved this cassette.
I think you probably did. Probably got it from a book
and I played it and played it and played it and played
he done,
it.
He'd done
absolutely.
Would you like
brilliant.
To swing on a star?
Yeah,
he done that.
Yeah,
I think he sang it in a film with kids.
Yes, I think he did as well. But yeah, I remember having this cassette and I remember just playing it to death. I mean, literally playing it to death. There wasn't a song on it that I didn't like. And where did that cassette go? Not that I could play it anymore.
Well, you've got a cassette player. But we can't even play a CD anymore.
I've not seen a CD of it. It never got replaced. It was good. It was a really good cassette though.
Right, 15, a song that has peaked at number 7, Gains People Play by American singer-songwriter Joe South. Do you think of that one? It's just all right, isn't it?
It's all right, yeah, it's like you can sing along to it. It's not the greatest song I've ever heard, but yeah.
It's okay, it's okay. Yeah. At 14, we find one of the most successful British bands of the 1960s, The Hollies, with Sorry Suzanne. They made some good songs, yeah.
I've never been a lover of the Hollies, to be fair. I know you do, but then maybe you remember more than I do. It was just nothing that I listened to a lot of different music because my brother, obviously, we lived in the same house, and he had a completely different taste in music to me. So I got to hear stuff that he played and thought, oh, that's not too bad. I don't think we ever had a Hollies song or anything to do with the Hollies at all.
But they were always around. I won't stake my life on it, but I think they had more top 10 hits than the Stones.
Really?
In the 1960s.
Well, they weren't as memorable then. They can't have been as memorable because
I'm Alive.
Yeah.
Bus Stop.
Yeah. He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother.
The Air That I Breathe.
Yeah, they're not. They don't do anything.
I didn't like Jennifer Eccles.
No,
that's not like personal, Jennifer. But
it's like a comedy song, isn't it?
This was the first release after the departure of original member Graham Nash, who went on to join Crosby, Stills and Nash. Peaked at number 3. It was a big hit.
Yeah, not really ever been. No, not
all right.
Not, I've never been a Hollies fan.
What about this other great 60s band at number 13, the Beach Boys?
Oh, yeah. Who can't like the Beach Boys?
I Can Hear Music.
Yeah. I liked all of theirs.
Only got to number 11. You think it would have been a big hit?
Yeah,
that,
you would have done. All of their songs, it doesn't matter which one you play, you're by the beach. you're there. It just transports you.
My favourite one of theirs is Do It Again. Back together and do it again. Oh, yeah. Hey, I think they're a great band.
Oh, yeah, they are. It's sort of, there were so many of them. I can remember watching old black and white. I think they were on one of the American shows where they were introduced. They were all like little sort of youngish boys at that point.
Yeah, I mean, the one genius they had was Brian Wilson. He was the one who wrote all the stuff and this, that and the other.
Is that the bloke that put on a lot of weight?
He did put on a bit of weight. Wasn't he? No, but he was fantastic. It's not actually one. He didn't actually write this song. It was actually a cover of a minor Ronettes hit from 1966.
Wow.
I've never heard their version, but no. Ronettes are pretty good. This song's pretty good, so I mean.
Yeah, maybe we should see if we can find it and listen to it.
Have a listen. Right. Number 12, One Hit Wonder. Noel Harrison, the son of stage and screen star Rex Harrison, The Windmills of Your Mind.
See, I don't mind this.
No, it's quite laid back.
It is very...
Have you seen the film?
Yeah, a long time ago. But
Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah.
I think he's in a glider, isn't he, when it's playing?
Yes, I think it is. I think you're right.
I've watched it years ago. They've done a follow-up, a remake some years ago, but I never saw that.
But it is a one-off, and it's very sort of...
Dusty Springfield done a good version.
Did she?
I don't know if she released it as a single. We didn't get nowhere, but this is quite a good laid-back song, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it. I think it was when I was going through my mild, listening to the sea and all that kind of stuff.
You went through that phase, did you, listening to the sea?
I've always loved the sound of the sea. You know that.
Yeah, right, number 11, Harlem Shuffle, Bob and Earl.
Yeah, it's a good song.
A good song, originally recorded in 1963, 6 years earlier. It was a commercial failure, then went top 10 6 years later and was covered in 1986 by the Rolling Stones on their Dirty Work album. But you like this song, don't you?
Yes, I do like this song. I think it's really good. It's a get up and go song, isn't it? I like it. It's one of those, I like songs that you, as soon as you hear the first couple of notes, you kind of know you know where you're going.
Yeah.
And you already, the noises in your head and the words of the song come into your head and you just feel that you've got to go with it. go with it.
Go with it.
Yeah. I like singing in the car. I know you don't because it's deafening and I'm not very good at singing. But
there's no escape for me, though, is there, really?
No.
That's why I've got an ejector seat.
Oh, I can arrange that. Can I have the button control?
Right, we're into the top 10 now. And at number 10 is Come Back and Shake Me by Clodagh Rogers. Now, what did you think of this?
No, it's a bit of a Eurovision Song Contest. Again,
yeah, there was
it?
A lot of that style of song around this time.
On middle of the road, kind of not very exciting.
Well, we don't like it, but the British public got this cute little number up the number two.
But is that because she was like a sweet young girl?
Yeah, she was
quite
pretty.
Like Mary Hopkins.
She used to wear sort of little mini dresses, blonde.
Yeah.
But when you put the record on, you can't see her, can you? So, I mean, I don't understand that. So there you go.
No.
Clodagh, we used to call her Clodagh in areas. Oh, look, it's Clodagh.
Really?
I don't know. It's one of them silly. We were childish in areas.
Yeah, you were. Yeah.
Right, a good song number 9, because up from last week's number 18 is Johnny Nash with Cupid.
Oh, that's a good one. Draw back your bow.
Do you remember his other ones?
Not off the top of my head.
Tears on My Pillow.
Yep, remember that one.
I Can See Clearly Now.
That's the one I was thinking.
The rain is gone. Oh, he passed away last year in October 2020, 80. So he had a good old knock.
Really well, didn't they? Good for him.
He had a good silky voice, wasn't it? A bit of sort of reggae in there as well.
Yeah, but it was only a small, it wasn't overpowering reggae. It was there was a bit of the smooth boy in there as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think he had a great voice, Johnny Nash. Should have had more hits than he did, really.
Absolutely.
Right, we're getting to the serious ones now. At number 8, The Bad, Bad Old Days by The Foundations.
Before I Met You, Girl. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
Well, they had two bigger hits, and they were Baby, Now That I Found You and Build Me Up Buttercup, which reached number 1 and number 2.
Build Me Up Buttercup,
this
fantastic.
One reached number 8. But yeah, I mean, I know people who love that Build Me Up Buttercup.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
It's just easy, goes,
yeah, and you can see, anyone can sing along with it. Don't even have to have a voice. It's just
surprised. We've been
fun.
To quite a lot of karaoke stuff on holiday, but I've never known anyone get up and sing that song, have you?
No.
I can't recall it anyway.
I think, because I used to go to, when I was working up in London, I went to, there was a karaoke place and we went there, I think, 3 or 4 times as a group from work. And I think somebody did it there very badly, but I have a recollection of us all dancing with plastic guitars and pretend microphones in this little room, with a disco light going. It was fun, and there was lots of cocktails flowing, so it was really good. But yeah, I've got a recollection of somebody singing it then, but that's the only time, and that was in a room where nobody else would hear it.
Right, now we talked about Sandy Shaw and the 1967 winner, the Eurovision Puppy on a String. Well, now we have the 1969 entry, and it's in at number 7, and it's Lulu with Boom Bang A Bang.
Well, what can I say? It's rubbish.
Absolutely
awful. I'm sorry, Lulu, but you've got such a cracking voice. And
well,
you,
this is the thing.
Some of these songs that you sung just...
Well, this is one of 4 joint winners that year. The strange thing is that all countries finished with 18 points.
18?
Yeah, now they get possible? The winners get about 480, don't they? So I don't know how that worked, but it's quite strange. And all 4 had to come out and sing the song again, so that must have gone back a bit. But it don't last like 4 hours like it does now. No, I think it's all over an hour and a half. Now, the thing with Lulu is that for a singer with such a good voice, her material was average
at best.
That's
exactly what I said.
You had I'm a Tiger, The Boat That I Row.
That's awful, that song. They're both awful.
She did do a pretty good version of David Bowie's The Man Who Sold the World.
That I do like that version.
But her 60s material was awful.
Didn't she do the Please, No?
Now, this is the thing. The one exception was the theme tune for the Sidney Poitier film, The Sir With Love, in which she appeared.
Yeah.
Now, the song Broker in America got to number 1 in the Billboard charts. Over here, nothing.
Nothing. No, and yet it's a really good song.
Didn't get in the top 50, let alone the top 30. Yeah, because that song, when his other one, the I'm a Tiger, gets to number sort of 8 or whatever it was, and that song, Please to Serve with Love, gets nowhere.
No.
That's crazy, isn't it?
And especially getting into number one in America when it was referring to a schoolgirl and a school teacher. I mean, because that's what it was about, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it wasn't that way. It was saying that she influenced him, took her from crowns to makeup.
To perfume.
Yeah, crowns to perfume. No, don't perfume to crowns. Crowns to perfume. Yeah, that's right, yeah. You don't go from perfume to crowns.
No, you definitely not.
She's got them in, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say that.
Right. In total contrast, we have a great song by a great band at number six, The Who with Pinball Wizard.
Yeah, it's a great
written
song.
By Pete Townsend, it featured on their 1969 rock opera Tommy. In the 1975, the song was performed by Elton John. It's a good version, but not as good as the original. Now, what do you think? The Who are not one of your favourites,
no,
are they?
No, they're not one of my favourites, but they did leave a sort of a mark, haven't they? I mean,
great live.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are more a live band, aren't they?
I think so, yeah. I mean, but they're all getting on a bit now, aren't they? Well,
of course, you say. In 69, they were still in their pomp.
Yeah.
They would have gone to Woodstock that year.
Yeah, my brother was a Who. So I used to hear it from his room. And when he was out, sorry, Dave. But I used to go in and pinch it and play it in my room and then run it back in before he came home. But, he had the LP. The whole thing, the Tommy.
Not the album,
opera.
The LP.
Yeah, all right.
Well, 1969, it would have been the LP, wouldn't it?
So he had that, and I did used to play it a lot. The thing is, I sort of remember the video, but more with Elton John, because he had them playing the piano,
yeah,
them
big
great
boots.
Big boots
it was
on,
in
yeah.
the film, wasn't it?
Yeah, that.
I weren't over keen on the film, to tell the truth. We did see it in the pictures.
Yeah, no, there's bits of it were all right. It was just a very, very strange thing. Yeah. I don't know who came up with that concept, but they must have been a bit. It's just a very, very.
Free.
Yeah, but they're good songs. They are good songs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tina Turner was in it, wasn't she? I can't remember the song she sang. Something about acid, was it? But she was in it.
Oh,
Elton John. Yeah, I mean, they were great, but they've just. A great band. He was a bit lively on the drums, wasn't he, old Keith Moon?
Oh, just a bit, yeah. He was like Animal. I think Animal must have been based on him.
I think he was. I think he was.
Yeah.
Animal might have been a better drummer, but he started it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, total contrast. Number five, Dean Martin, Gentle on My Mind.
I love old Dino.
He drank Canada Dry.
Yeah, I think he did. That man likes a drink. But he wasn't a singer, really, was it?
Oh, he was. I thought he had a good
voice. No, but I mean, he wasn't.
He sort of made himself.
He did come, yeah, exactly. He sort of, and he became part of the sort of rat crap.
It was just his rat crap. It was just, it was like his talking voice singing, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But he got away with it, and it was really good. There's not many people who can get away with that.
There's a great.
And as long as he had a gin or a whiskey in his hand.
I had a great thing once where someone was interviewing him and they played Strangers in the Night and he was slagging it off all the way through the song. And when it came to the end, it sort of goes, no, not doobie doobie doo. No, not doobie doobie doo. Suddenly Frank goes, doobie doobie doo. I'm off. it's just a great. I can't remember what it was on, but it's there were a lot of different versions of this song by Glen Campbell, Aretha Franklin, and Patti Page.
Aren't they?
But this is the best version for me. And it went on to be a big UK
hit. And it does sound like he's in a smoky bar and he's had quite a few whiskies and it's got a bit of a laid back feel.
Right, number four is one of your favourite singers ever. Are there many people you can think of right now got a better voice than Marvin Gaye?
Absolutely not. The man was a genius.
Dun, 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 dun. I heard it for a grapevine.
Yeah, lovely song.
Had you already been a US number one hit? Oh, yeah. It worked for him, though. Yeah, it was number one hit for Gladys Knight and the Pips. Have you heard their version?
No.
It's nowhere near as good as Marvin's.
Well, no, of course it wouldn't be, would it?
But then sometime later he picked it up and it was number one again in America and also number one here. This is by far the better version.
Yeah, he's just, I just think, what happened to him and finished
it's a shame.
I
mean, his dad shot him.
He was such a good looking man. I'm like, I had his LP, the one where he had the little skull cappy hat on and a red T-shirt. And I used to sort of look at the picture and think, you are just so good looking. Yeah. I just think it was such a sad ending. Such
a lot of his duets were good as well, weren't they?
Oh, his duets were fantastic. Tammy Terrell.
It Takes Two.
Yeah. and the world is just a great big onion. He did.
Yeah,
with,
that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Who was that with? Was that Tammy
Tremble? That might have been her. We've done a few with her. She died young, didn't she?
She did, yeah. But he was really upset by that. But, yeah.
Done a couple with Diana. You Are Everything. Did they do that one?
Yeah. Well, they did the Diana Marvin LP, didn't they?
You saw that, didn't you?
I did.
We used to have it on display in their living room.
Well, actually, I've got a drawing of it upstairs. I drew the cover on because I was bored one day and just sat and drew the cover and the way the writing. Mm. The style of the writing where it said Diane and Marvin or Marvin and Diane. Diane and Marvin, I think it was. But, yeah, I that was one of the ones I sort of played and played and played. You know, what's going on? Sexual healing. It was just – there were some that sort of never quite hit the mark. They sort of just didn't reach the peak.
He done some right catchy stuff in his early – remember Pride and Joy?
Yeah.
That was like an early 60s song,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Pride and Joy.
Yeah, that was on the What's Going On album, which was really good. I just loved it.
Yeah, he's an all-time great without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Marvin.
Yeah.
Right, top three now.
Sadly missed.
Straight in at number three is a song that will top the chart for the following 5 weeks, The Beatles' Get Back. This is the only Beatles song where another artist is given a credit. Do you know who that was?
No.
The Beatles with Billy Preston.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's done the old organ on top of the roof. Yeah. On top of the roof.
Yeah.
The song was written by Paul McCartney and features a guitar solo by John Lennon and not George Harrison. John Lennon penned the excellent B-side, Don't Let Me Down. Do you remember that song?
Don't Let Me Down.
You know, done a good version of that? Stereophonics. But you can his voice would suit that song.
Oh, yeah, because he's gravelly.
Yeah.
I like him.
This will be their penultimate UK number one for before breaking up the following year. The last one will be Ballad of John and Yoko.
Mm. Good song.
Why did the Beatles break up, do you reckon? Why would you say the Beatles broke up?
Because of Yoko Ono.
Yeah. I don't think it helped.
She was going off in different directions.
She was like a vulture sitting in the...
She's a dreadful woman. Dreadful
sitting
woman.
In the recording studio, isn't she? They're all sort of on their guitars and pianos and drums. And
she was talentless, but for some reason people think she's got talent, that she's some sort of artist, and I don't get it.
No, she's never one of my favourites.
I think if he'd have been with a different woman, he wouldn't have...
Just stay with Cynthia.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Just stay with Cynthia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a strange one. I never understand it.
Yeah, but the other thing is as well, he may not have moved to America and may not have ended up the way he did.
Yeah, but just every day there's forks you go down, aren't there? I mean...
Oh, absolutely. You can't help it. You've got to go down them little forks and think, what if?
Do you remember when we went to see the Bootleg Beatles and they come out in the roof gear, like the white suit?
Yeah, yeah.
They had the beard. But they all three, okay, John Lennon didn't come out straight away.
No.
And Paul McCartney says to this bootleg Paul McCartney, says to George Harrison, oh, where's John? And he says, oh, he's backstage with his beautiful wife. It was funny. It made me laugh. Anyway, right. Paul McCartney also penned the song at number two, which is by Mary Hopkin, Goodbye. She had a sweet little voice.
Isn't that
Goodbye,
one good?
My love,
yeah.
Goodbye.
Do, do, yeah, do, it was all right.
Yeah, I mean, she sort of came and went pretty quick.
Yep, she did.
I like the song she done, Tessa Harbour, something like that. But yeah.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, yeah.
She was on Opportunity Knocks. She won it about, I don't know, 10 weeks on the trot. One of the she done a good version of, you know, the bird song, Turn, Turn, Turn.
There is a season.
Yeah.
That one.
She done a version of that. And matter of fact, she done it so well, in a later episode, they asked her to do it again.
Oh.
And she won again, obviously. But yeah, I mean, she was okay. Didn't last thing around too long. Don't hear nothing of her now, do you?
No, not at all.
She must be 70. She was quite young, but he sort of took, McCartney sort of took her under his wing. And
wonder what's happened to her then.
Well, I don't know. Where's Clona Rogers? Maybe she's not dead. But, I mean, they do, Sandy Shaw, their career ends and that's it.
Yeah, more with
she
women.
Might be still in some sort of music
that
role.
It seems to be a thing that happens to women, isn't it? Women
no,
singers.
Men as well.
Not so many.
Well, Peter Sarsfield didn't do much after 1969, did he?
True.
So, number one, reggae, which was quite big round about 69,
it was,
70,
yeah.
71. And we've got Desmond Dekker and the Aces with Israelites.
My ears are alight.
Right, the second and last week in top spot. It was written by Desmond Dekker and Leslie Kong.
Who?
Leslie Kong. I don't know.
K-O-N-G?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like King Kong.
Yeah.
It topped the charts in numerous countries in 1969. I think it must have been the first reggae number one. Can you think of one? I don't know. Jimmy Cliff was around, but...
Not full on.
No, that really, you know... Very few people understood the lyrics. A fact cashed in years later by Maxell with their TV advert, where My Israelite turned into My Ears Are Alight. It was a funny ad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they must have agreed to it. I mean, they're probably getting money for it. But they must have agreed to it. I mean... It was like the Bob Dylan video when he was doing the placards.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. He had a lot of other hits, 007, Shantytown, It Mech. You Can Get It If You Really Want, which is a really good song. And this really opened the floodlights for other reggae artists like Dave and I.
The floodlights? Don't you mean the floodgates?
Oh, floodgates, yeah, sorry.
The floodlights.
Dave and Ansel Collins, remember that? Ah, and the Magnificent.
W-O-O-O.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Dandy Livingston. Susan, Beware of the Devil.
Oh, I think that was.
And the Pioneers, who sang my favourite reggae song of that period, Let Your Yeah Be Yeah. That was a great song. I think that's a great song, that is. So that's our top 30. What do you think of that?
Well, there's some rubbish in there.
You don't know what chart of what week of what year, there's going to be duds.
Absolutely.
But I think it's a good chart. I mean, it's...
It's a good old mixture, isn't there?
You got some duds, Cliff Richard, Clodagh Rogers.
Plastic, yeah.
And the Lulu one's a bit iffy. But it was a joint winner of Eurovision. But the chart does have Cream, The Kinks, Fleetwood Mac, Temptations, Stevie Wonder, Frank Sinatra, The Hollies, Beach Boys, The Who, Marvin Gaye and The Beatles. So there ain't many charts have got that lineup. And it was, I only chose this one at random, by the way. I didn't sort of hunt it down.
So this was the 26th of April, 1969. Okay. Wonder where I was.
I wonder where you'd be in 2029.
Let's not go there.
Well, I think we've just about covered that chart. We'll have to pick out another one and do it again, eh?
Yeah.
Should we go later or earlier? Let's go later, go into the 70s. That's more your bags.
Yeah.
You're more a 70s. Than the 60s, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'll probably know more songs in the 70s. There wasn't any there apart from Plastic. I don't think I'd heard that before.
Plastic.
There was a few on there that I thought, I don't know.
The Tremolos one was the one.
Didn't know that at all. No. But so there was a few on there that until they were played, I didn't realise what song they were. And I think that now I don't tend to. I still don't think of who's singing it. I either like a song or I don't. It's not who it is.
Yeah, I don't understand this. It's like Beatles versus Stones, isn't it? I don't know why you can't like both. Like the Beatles are for a Stones. You're sort of arguing like their football team's, my team's better than yours. And you can have both. Not like football, you can't have, if you're Arsenal fan, you can't have Tottenham, but you can have them all. You don't have to choose one over the other, do you?
No, that's true. But I've never been one for sort of looking and seeing who sung it. If I like a song, I like a song. So that's why I didn't know what those ones were, because I've heard them, I like them.
And it's funny, you know a song, but not by the title.
No.
Well, it was 50 years ago, wasn't it? 50,
right, don't rub
51
it
years ago, so... But you do hear them on the old radio shows and
you
this
do. And you know, we play them because we've got sort of random, you know, you've got your record player and
Dan Sat Viva 1964 record player. I'm buying singles at the moment.
Yeah, he's not buying any albums. He's not into albums.
No,
much,
I've done all the albums. The albums I've listened to on Spotify. Well, I think that's the end of this episode. If you have any comments, let me know on my Back in the Day group on Facebook. We'd like to hear your comments, whether you agree with us or whether we're talking rubbish.
So, opinion.
We didn't decide, we'll come up to somewhere around the mid-70s next time, I think.
Okay, let's check give it a go. Out. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. See you later.
Bye.